Thank you for being an incredible supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, the home of the skillful art of manipulation. We're thrilled to have you as part of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes and comments mean the world to us and help us reach a wider audience with our stories. Plus, with new episodes released every day, your feedback plays a vital role in shaping what we create. It truly makes a difference. Your loyalty and enthusiasm fuel our passion for crafting gripping tales, and we're so grateful for your support. Today, we're excited to present The Wife Swap Bet, a story that promises to keep you on the edge of your seat. Let's dive into this thrilling narrative together. Chapter 1, The Game Begins. The night was thick with the scent of whiskey and expensive cigars, the kind of atmosphere that only money could buy. The penthouse suite, perched high above the city skyline, pulsed with soft jazz from the hidden speakers, the melody curling around the room like a seductive whisper. Dim lighting cast golden hues over the mahogany poker table, where stacks of crisp bills and high-value chips were strewn carelessly across the felt. Cole sat at the head of the table, his fingers drumming against the armrest of his leather chair, his Rolex catching the light with every impatient tap. His smirk was the kind that made lesser men nervous, the kind that said he always won, no matter the game. And sitting across from him was Damon, just as arrogant, just as ruthless, his lean frame draped in a tailored suit that fit him like a second skin. He swirled the bourbon in his glass, the ice clinking softly, his lips quirking at the corners as he watched Cole with amusement. But the real game wasn't between them. Eva and I sat side by side, perfectly poised, the way rich men like their women to be. Elegant, desirable, and silent unless spoken to. We played our parts well. Eva, with her silky black dress that clung to every sinuous curve, her deep red lips curled in a teasing smirk. And me. I was the image of controlled temptation, my legs crossed just right, the slit of my emerald green gown high enough to hint at more, but not give it away. We were trained in this, masters of the illusion. The men thought they were in control. They had no fucking idea. Cole threw down a pair of kings, his grin widening as he leaned back, stretching his arms out in victory. Looks like I've got you again, Damon. Damon clicked his tongue, shaking his head as he examined his losing hand. You're a lucky bastard tonight, aren't you? Luck? Cole scoffed, reaching for his glass. I don't need luck. I've got skill. Eva let out a light, breathy laugh, the kind that men mistook for admiration. You boys and your egos, she teased, taking a slow sip of her wine. The way her lips wrapped around the glass was deliberate, her eyes flicking between the two men, watching them drink in the sight of her. Damon turned to her, his smirk deepening. Careful, sweetheart. That's dangerous talk. She tilted her head, her glossy curls cascading over one shoulder. Oh, and why is that? Because, Cole interjected, his voice dripping with amusement, if you rile us up too much, we might have to up the stakes. My heart beat a fraction harder. That was the opening we needed. Damon's gaze slid over to Cole, curiosity flickering behind his eyes. He tapped his index finger against the rim of his glass. What do you have in mind? Cole glanced at me, his expression turning devious. I knew that look all too well. It was the same one he gave before making a reckless decision, before pushing past a line he shouldn't cross. The look that screamed power and possession. And sure enough, the next words out of his mouth sealed the deal. A real bet, he said, his tone thick with challenge. Winner gets the other man's wife for the night. Eva gasped, feigning shock, her delicate fingers pressing against her throat. Cole! I followed her lead, widening my eyes as if I couldn't believe what he had just said. You can't be serious. Cole only grinned, his gaze locking with Damon's. What's the matter? You scared? Damon let out a slow exhale, running his tongue over his teeth in thought. He looked at Eva, then at me, weighing the offer, assessing the risks. Then, just as we expected, his lips curved into a wolfish smile. You've got yourself a bet. Eva's fingers tightened subtly around her wine glass. My pulse quickened. The trap was set. The men had no idea they had just stepped into their own fucking downfall. Chapter 2, The Bet Sealed. The moment those words left Damon's lips, you've got yourself a bet, the entire atmosphere shifted. The weight of the gamble hung thick in the air, wrapping around the room like an invisible noose, tightening with each passing second. Eva and I exchanged the briefest glance, just enough for her to confirm what I already knew. This was it. The night we had been waiting for. The night we had been planning for. But the men, they thought they were the ones in control. Cole leaned back in his chair, a victorious smirk stretching across his face. He adjusted the cuffs of his crisp white dress shirt, acting as if this was just another high-stakes poker match, as if he had just won a few thousand dollars instead of offering up his wife like a bargaining chip. The arrogance was nauseating. Damon mirrored his cocky demeanor, swirling his whiskey lazily, the amber liquid catching the dim light. He looked at Eva, his gaze raking over her the way men like him always did, like she was a prize to be claimed, an object to be handled. He let out a slow, smug chuckle. "I hope you don't disappoint, sweetheart." Eva forced a nervous laugh, shifting in her seat, her hands clasped together in her lap. "This is insane," she murmured under her breath, making sure the men heard her, playing into the illusion of discomfort. "Come on, baby," Cole said smoothly, reaching over to brush his knuckles against my thigh, his touch possessive. "It's all in good fun." Fun, that's what he called it. Betting his own wife in a drunken game of dominance, treating me like some piece of property he could trade for a few hours of entertainment. I gave him a small, hesitant smile, just enough to keep him comfortable. If he even suspected for a second that I was enjoying this, that I was anticipating this, he'd start asking questions. And we couldn't have that. Not yet. The game continued. The tension built. The minutes stretched, turning into an hour, then two. Eva played the part of the flustered wife brilliantly, throwing worried glances at Damon every time Cole pushed the stakes higher. She chewed her lip, sipped her wine too fast, fidgeted just enough to make it look like she was on edge. And me? I played the obedient, supportive wife, pretending to be the woman who believed in her husband's ability to win, pretending to be the woman who wanted him to win. I let Cole think he was in control. I let him believe that this was his world, his game. But it wasn't. This was our game. And soon he was going to lose everything. The final hand. The clock above the fireplace read 1:37 a.m. when it all came down to the last hand. The men were three bottles deep into their expensive bourbon, their movements a little slower, their reactions dulled by the alcohol. Cole cracked his knuckles, his confidence unwavering as he stared Damon down. "All right," he said, grinning. "Last round. Winner takes all." Damon smirked. "Let's make it interesting." He reached into his pocket, pulled out a thick roll of cash, and tossed it onto the table. $50,000. Cole let out a low whistle. "You're feeling bold tonight, huh?" Damon leaned back, tapping a finger against his temple. "Let's just say I like high stakes." Eva tensed beside him, as if the weight of what was happening was just now hitting her. It was an act, of course, but it was flawless. Cole took another sip of his drink, his gaze flicking toward me for reassurance. "You okay, babe?" I nodded, biting my lip, looking just anxious enough to make it believable. "Just nervous," I whispered. He grinned, reaching out to squeeze my hand. "Don't worry. I've got this." I almost laughed. He had no idea just how wrong he was. The cards were dealt. The game was on. Damon's expression didn't change as he studied his hand, his face unreadable. Cole, on the other hand, couldn't hide his excitement. His eyes lit up, his lips twitched, his fingers drummed against the table. He thought he had it. The fool. With a slow, deliberate movement, Cole laid down his cards. "Royal flush," he announced, his voice thick with triumph. "Looks like Eva's mine for the night." "Silence." Damon sighed, rubbing his jaw as he leaned back in his chair. "Son of a bitch." Cole let out a deep, victorious chuckle, turning toward me with an almost childish glee in his expression. "I told you, baby. I always win." Eva's fingers tightened around the stem of her glass. Her shoulders rose and fell in an exaggerated breath. I guess that's that then," she murmured, her voice small. Damon turned to her, a flicker of something dark passing through his expression. Possessiveness. A bruised ego. Maybe even a touch of regret. "Guess I better make the best of it," Eva said, finally standing. Her eyes met mine for the briefest second. Just enough for me to see it. The hunger. The anticipation. The victory. Cole reached for his whiskey, taking another slow sip, completely oblivious. "Don't worry, man," he told Damon, grinning. "I'll take real good care of her." Damon didn't respond. He just sat there, gripping his glass a little too tightly. Eva walked toward Cole, her hips swaying just enough to sell it, and placed a single hand on his shoulder. And just like that, it was done. The bet was sealed. The men thought they were winning. They had no idea they had just signed away their own fucking lives. Chapter 3, The Setup. The moment Eva slipped her hand onto Cole's shoulder, I felt it, the subtle unspoken shift in power. The men, drunk on their own arrogance, thought they were the ones controlling the game. But Eva and I? We had already won. Cole, grinning like the smug bastard he was, let his fingers drift up Eva's arm, testing, teasing. She shivered, on purpose, just enough to make him believe she was nervous, hesitant, even a little afraid. It was perfect. I sipped my wine slowly, letting the warmth of it coat my tongue, and watched the scene unfold. Across the table, Damon's jaw was tight, his fingers wrapped around his glass in a vice-like grip. His ego had taken a hit, but that wasn't the only thing simmering beneath the surface. I knew that look. Possessiveness. Jealousy. Even a man as wealthy, powerful, and ruthless as Damon didn't like losing to another man. Especially when that loss meant surrendering his wife, if only for a night. If only he knew. Cole rose from his chair, stretching as if he had just won a championship. "All right, baby," he said, turning to Eva with a smirk. "Guess we should get going." Eva hesitated, biting her lip, throwing a small, uncertain glance in Damon's direction. Brilliant acting, really. Damon's fingers twitched, and for a second, I thought he might actually tell her no. That he might fight for her. But that wasn't who these men were. They treated us like possessions, things to be traded, played with, discarded. So Damon, after a long moment, simply reached for his drink and tossed it back in one go. "Do whatever you want," he muttered. The words might have stung Eva if she actually gave a fuck about him. But she didn't. And neither did I. The private room. Cole led Eva out of the main lounge, through the extravagant hallway lined with gold-framed artwork and imported sculptures. I followed them with my gaze for as long as I could before they disappeared down the corridor. Then it was just me and Damon. Alone. Tension hung thick in the air between us. Damon sat stiffly in his chair, his eyes locked on the remaining poker chips scattered across the table. He looked like a man struggling with something, anger, maybe. Regret. I didn't care. I lifted my glass and took a slow sip, savoring the last few moments before everything truly began. "So," I said, breaking the silence, "are you okay?" Damon exhaled sharply, his fingers running through his thick, dark hair. "What kind of fucking question is that?" I raised a brow, pretending to be offended. "I was just checking." He let out a humorless chuckle, finally turning to face me. "She's with him right now. My wife. In a room with your husband." "That was the bet," I said smoothly, watching him carefully. His jaw clenched. "And you're just fine with that?" I tilted my head, as if contemplating his question. "It's just a game, isn't it?" Damon scoffed, running a hand down his face. "A fucking sick game." I almost smiled. Because now, finally, he was starting to see the cracks in the world he thought he controlled. He was feeling the sting of powerlessness, the taste of being played. "Good. That was the point." I leaned forward, resting my elbows on the table. "If it bothers you that much, you could always take me upstairs," I said, my voice a purr. His eyes snapped to mine. I saw the flicker of hesitation. The war raging inside him. Temptation. Jealousy. Pride. I leaned in closer, close enough to let my perfume surround him. "Would that even the playing field?" I murmured, letting my nails graze the wood of the table. Damon swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing slightly. "You're fucking dangerous," he muttered. "If only he knew how dangerous." I smiled. "And you love it." He didn't deny it. And that was all I needed. The whispered plan. Two floors up, inside the penthouse suite, Eva's hands trembled as she poured Cole another drink. Fake trembling, of course. The illusion of unease. Cole, drunk on both liquor and victory, stretched out on the leather couch, watching her like a predator watching prey. "You nervous?" he asked, his voice thick with amusement. Eva forced a small laugh, tucking a strand of hair behind her ear. "A little. Don't be." He took a slow sip of his whiskey. "This is supposed to be fun." She smiled, just enough to keep him comfortable. And then, as subtly as she could, she reached into her purse and clicked the tiny microphone hidden inside. A faint beep, inaudible to Cole, signaled that the recording had begun. Every word. Every action. Every disgusting power move he tried to pull tonight? It would all be on tape. Evidence. Insurance. Leverage. Cole had no idea that with every sleazy comment he made, with every entitled touch he attempted, he was digging his own fucking grave. And when the time was right, Eva would burn him alive with it. The decoy. Back downstairs, Damon was still struggling, still drinking. Still clueless. I stood up, walking slowly around the table, letting my heels click softly against the marble floor. "You don't trust her, do you?" I asked, my voice casual. Damon exhaled, rubbing his temple. "I don't trust him." "Then why did you agree to this?" His silence spoke volumes. "You wanted to see if she'd actually go through with it," I said, circling behind him, my fingertips trailing along the edge of his chair. "Didn't you?" He didn't answer. I leaned down, whispering into his ear, Maybe you just needed an excuse to let her go. His breath hitched, and I knew in that moment that he was exactly where I needed him to be. Distracted. Conflicted. Vulnerable. He had no idea that upstairs his wife was setting the stage for our escape. And by the time he figured it out, it would already be too late. Chapter 4. The Heist. The moment the penthouse door clicked shut behind Cole and Eva, the clock started ticking. Everything had to happen in precise order, without a single misstep. Months of planning, countless nights of whispered strategies, late-night rehearsals, and fabricated emotions had led to this moment. And now it was finally time. I took a slow breath, keeping my expression unreadable, my body still draped lazily over the edge of the poker table. Across from me, Damon sat stiffly, his whiskey glass half empty, his mind clearly racing. He was too caught up in his own thoughts to notice the small, almost imperceptible movements I was making, slipping my hand beneath the table, feeling for the tiny switch taped to the underside. A single press. The tracker inside Eva's purse activated. We were officially on the clock. The first move. Upstairs, Eva played her part flawlessly. She moved carefully, deliberately, letting her body language send all the right signals. Nervous, compliant, hesitant, but not outright resistant. She had to let Cole think she was unsettled by the situation, that she was still struggling with the idea of being one like a fucking trophy. Because men like him? They got off on that power. Cole poured another drink, watching her with that slow, indulgent smirk he always wore when he thought he had everything under control. "You don't have to be so tense, sweetheart," he said, handing her a glass of whiskey. "I mean, it's not like we haven't all thought about this before." Eva forced herself to blush, biting her lip just enough to make it look natural. "I don't know," she murmured, her fingers trembling slightly as she took the glass. "This is just so crazy." Cole chuckled, leaning back against the couch. "You're acting like we haven't been dancing around this for years." He swirled his drink in his hand, his eyes dark with amusement. "Don't tell me you've never wondered." Eva hesitated just long enough to keep him on edge. Then she let out a breathy laugh, tucking her hair behind her ear. "Maybe once or twice," she admitted, her voice soft, almost shy. Cole's ego swelled instantly. And just like that, he let his guard down. The distraction. Back in the lounge, Damon was unraveling faster than I had expected. His grip on his drink was white-knuckled, his jaw tight, his eyes flicking toward the hallway where Eva and Cole had disappeared minutes ago. Jealousy was eating him alive. Good. Because the more distracted he was, the easier this would be. I stood up slowly, stretching, letting my dress shift just enough to draw his gaze. "Want another drink?" I asked, already reaching for the bottle of bourbon. Damon hesitated, then sighed. "Yeah, why the hell not?" I poured the amber liquid smoothly, making sure my movements were slow and graceful, letting him watch me. Letting him fall for the illusion. I handed him the glass, our fingers brushing just slightly. A flicker of something dangerous passed through his eyes. "Perfect. The setup." Upstairs, Eva was guiding Cole exactly where she needed him to be. She let him think he was leading, let him touch her waist, let him pull her close. But every move was calculated, every glance measured. And when he finally leaned in to kiss her, that's when she slipped her hand into his pocket. The moment her fingers wrapped around his phone, she knew she had him. She pulled back slightly, feigning nervousness, looking away as if she was still hesitant. I need a second," she whispered, biting her lip. Cole sighed, frustrated but indulgent. "Take your time, sweetheart." Eva forced a small, grateful smile before stepping away, just long enough to text me from his phone. "It's done." I felt the vibration in my purse, but I didn't check it. Not yet. Instead, I kept my attention on Damon, making sure he was too wrapped up in me to notice anything else. "You ever regret any of this?" I asked suddenly, tilting my head as I sipped my own drink. Damon frowned. "What do you mean?" I let my gaze flick toward the hallway. "You know how we all live. The games. The lies. The way we pretend things are fine when they're not." Damon exhaled, rubbing his temple. "It's just the way things are." I studied him for a moment, pretending to be thoughtful, before sighing. "Maybe." I reached for his hand, just barely touching his wrist, my voice dropping to a soft murmur. "But sometimes I wonder what it would be like to just walk away from all of it." Damon's eyes flicked to mine, something unreadable flashing across his face. I could see it, the confusion, the hesitation, the doubt creeping in. He was starting to unravel. And that's exactly what I needed. The escape. Upstairs, Eva was already moving. Cole, now comfortably drunk and relaxed, had given her everything she needed, his phone, access to his accounts, every single detail we had planned for. She slipped into the bathroom, locked the door, and started transferring the money. Millions drained from his accounts in minutes. And by the time he even realized what had happened, we'd be long gone. Eva moved fast, deleting the transaction history, erasing the evidence. She placed his phone back on the nightstand and took a slow, deep breath, steadying herself before stepping out of the bathroom. Cole was still lounging on the couch, grinning lazily. "You okay now?" She smiled sweetly. "Yeah." He had no idea. The final step. Downstairs, Damon was finally slipping. He had finished two more drinks, his posture looser, his thoughts heavier. And I pushed him just a little further. I reached for his hand again, my touch soft, almost hesitant. "Damon, what if we just..." A loud thud echoed from upstairs. Damon's head snapped toward the hallway. "What the fuck was that?" I frowned, tilting my head. "Maybe." The door slammed open. Cole came stumbling into the room, his expression twisted in confusion, his phone clutched in his hand. He looked at Damon, then at me, then back down at the screen. His brows furrowed. "The fuck is this?" he muttered. Damon frowned. "What?" Cole's face paled. "My money. It's gone." Silence. Damon's confusion turned to shock. "What the fuck are you talking about?" And that's when I smiled. Because at that exact moment, Eva stepped out from behind Cole, her own smile just as deadly. "We're talking about the fact that you're both broke as fuck," she said sweetly. Damon's mouth opened, but no words came out. Cole looked at me, realization finally setting in. "You." His voice was barely a whisper. "You set us up." I took a slow step forward, looking him dead in the eyes. "No, darling," I murmured, tilting my head. "We fucking owned you." And with that, Eva and I turned on our heels and walked out the door. We never looked back. Chapter 5, The Blackmail. We walked out of the penthouse like ghosts, silent, untouchable, and already fading from their world. The hallway stretched before us, long and dimly lit, every polished tile beneath our heels absorbing the weight of what we had just done. The stakes were high, the risk immense, but we had played the game to perfection. The men behind us were still drowning in confusion, their minds reeling, their egos crumbling beneath the sheer magnitude of the loss. By the time they pieced it together, we'd be nothing more than a whisper of perfume on the air. I glanced at Eva as we moved swiftly toward the elevator, the adrenaline in my veins thrumming like a second heartbeat. Her face was composed, but I saw it, the tiny flicker of excitement behind her eyes, the victorious curve of her lips. We had pulled it off. But we weren't finished yet. Not even close. The fallout begins. The first message arrived before we even reached the ground floor. Cole's number flashed across my burner phone screen, his name nothing more than a useless, irrelevant word now. I let it ring, savoring the desperation behind the call before silencing it. Eva, standing beside me as we waited for the elevator doors to open, smirked. "Think he's figured it out yet?" I laughed softly. "Oh, he's figured it out." The elevator dinged. We stepped inside. The doors slid shut, locking us into a brief moment of solitude. My phone vibrated again. A message this time. "You stole from me, you bitch." I rolled my eyes, tapping out a reply. "We didn't steal. We took what we were owed." A moment of silence. Then another text. "You think you can just walk away from this? You think you can get away with this?" I could practically hear his rage through the words. I could imagine him pacing, his hands clenched into fists, his expensive suit rumpled from stress. I smirked and sent another reply. "We already have." Eva chuckled beside me. "He's losing his shit, isn't he?" I showed her the messages. She let out a low whistle. "Damn. He's predictable. Like clockwork." The elevator doors opened, revealing the luxurious lobby. A doorman nodded at us politely as we strode past. The night was cool, the city humming with life beyond the pristine glass doors of the building. We stepped out onto the sidewalk, vanishing into the pulse of the streets. Phase 2, the leverage. Damon was the next to call. We were already in the back seat of a black town car, heading toward the airport when his name popped up on Eva's phone. She let it ring twice before answering, her voice smooth, controlled. "Damon, you need to fucking explain," his voice snapped through the line, rough, unsteady. "What the hell did you do?" Eva sighed, feigning exhaustion. "Oh, baby, you know exactly what we did." Silence. Then a low, ragged exhale. "You drained my accounts." Eva smirked. "No, love. We transferred your assets into safekeeping. Big difference." "Jesus Christ, Eva. You didn't actually think we were going to let you and Cole keep running us into the ground, did you?" she interrupted, voice sharp now, no longer playing coy. You treated us like accessories, like things you could trade and discard when it suited you. Did you really think there wouldn't be consequences? You have no idea what you've done, he ground out. This isn't just money. Do you understand that? There are people, serious people, who are involved in some of those transactions. Eva glanced at me, her expression calm, calculated. We had anticipated this. You should have thought about that before you let us inside your world, she said, voice dropping to a deadly whisper. Because now, we own you. Damon didn't respond right away. For the first time, he truly understood. You think you're safe? He finally asked. You think we won't come after you? Eva smirked. Check your email, Damon. A pause. Then we heard the rustling of movement, the click of a laptop opening. Then a sharp inhale. How did you get these? He demanded, voice low, furious. Eva stretched her legs out, completely at ease. You and Cole weren't exactly careful. We've got bank records, offshore accounts, wire transfers, the whole ugly mess. And guess what, sweetheart? The feds would love to take a peek. You wouldn't. Wouldn't we? I cut in, finally speaking. Silence again. This time heavier. You send anything to the feds, you go down too, Damon said finally, grasping at straws. I smiled. You'd like to think that, wouldn't you? Eva exhaled dramatically. But don't worry. We don't want to ruin you. Damon let out a bitter laugh. Right. You just want the money. Not just the money, Eva corrected. We want freedom. We want distance. And we want your silence. More silence. Then finally a low, begrudging sigh. What do you want? We had him. I glanced at Eva. She nodded once. One last wire transfer, I said. Everything left in your private accounts. You'll still have enough to survive. But you won't come after us. You won't speak of us. You won't breathe a word to anyone about what happened tonight. And if I don't, Damon challenged. I smirked. Then tomorrow morning, every major news outlet in the country gets a lovely little package detailing every dirty deal you and Cole have ever been a part of. Silence. Then a defeated exhale. Fine, Damon muttered. You win. Eva's lips curled. Oh, we know. The final goodbye. By the time we reached the airport, the last wire transfer had been completed. Millions. Gone from their hands. Secure in ours. Cole had tried calling me 5 more times, alternating between rage-filled threats and pathetic pleas. He promised to hunt us down, to make us pay, to destroy us. I had laughed. Then I had blocked his number. Eva and I walked through the terminal, our new passports tucked neatly into our designer handbags, our new identities waiting on the other side of security. Fresh start. New lives. The world was wide open before us. As we approached our gate, Eva turned to me, raising her glass of overpriced airport champagne. To freedom, she murmured. I clinked my glass against hers, savoring the taste of victory. To men who thought they owned us, I corrected, my smile slow and sharp. We both laughed. And then, without looking back, we stepped onto the plane and disappeared. Chapter 6, The Reckoning. We didn't just disappear. We erased ourselves. By the time the sun rose over the city skyline, Eva and I were already thousands of miles away. The old versions of us, the ones who had been trapped in golden cages, suffocated by power-hungry men who saw us as accessories, were dead, buried beneath the weight of their own arrogance. We were reborn as ghosts. No traces. No breadcrumbs. No way to track us. But Cole and Damon? They weren't so lucky. The desperation begins. The first wave of calls came at sunrise. Eva and I sat in the private lounge of an exclusive resort, sipping espresso, watching the waves roll against the shore through floor-to-ceiling windows. The world was quiet, pristine, untouched by the storm we had left behind. Then my burner phone vibrated. Cole! Again! Eva raised a brow as I held up the screen. Persistent, isn't he? She mused, stirring a sugar cube into her coffee. I let the phone ring, smirking as I imagined his frustration. Oh, let him suffer a little longer. Another buzz. Then another. Damon, this time. I sighed, rolling my eyes. They don't quit. Eva took a slow sip, leaning back in her chair, watching the waves as if this was just another normal day. They're realizing, she said casually, that we were never theirs to control. That they lost. The phone rang again. I let out a low chuckle, then answered. Miss me already? I purred. There was a sharp inhale on the other end. Then Cole's voice, raw and strained. You fucking bitch. I smirked, resting my chin on my palm. That's Mrs. Bitch to you, darling. Eva snorted softly. You think this is over? Cole growled. You think you can just walk away with my money? I exhaled, pretending to consider. Well, we didn't just walk away. We took a plane, actually. Quite a lovely flight, too. Champagne, warm towels, first-class service. You have no idea who you're messing with, he spat. I swear to God I will find you. I sighed, checking my nails. And do what, exactly? Cray. Threaten me some more? Please, Cole, you're getting repetitive. You don't understand. Oh, no. I cut him off, my voice dropping into something slow and dangerous. You don't understand. You lost, Cole. We won. And the more you push, the worse it's going to get for you. Silence. I could practically feel his frustration crackling through the line. Listen carefully. I continued, my voice smooth as silk. You will not come looking for us. You will not send anyone after us. And you will not make a single move unless you want your life to burn. A sharp exhale. You think you can control me? I smiled. I know I can. Another beat of silence. Then. You think you're so fucking smart, Cole muttered. You think you've won. But you have no idea what's coming for you. And then he hung up. Eva arched a brow. That sounded ominous. I rolled my eyes, tossing the phone onto the table. They always say shit like that when they lose. She smirked, raising her coffee cup. To our win, then. I clinked my cup against hers. But deep down, I knew it wasn't completely over. Not yet. The empire crumbles. It took less than 48 hours for their world to collapse. Eva and I had made sure of it. We had spent months gathering leverage, not just on Cole and Damon, but on their business associates, their dirty deals, their illegal investments. So when we sent out the first batch of files, the ripple effect was immediate. Cole's business accounts were frozen. Damon's properties were raided by investigators. Banks pulled out. Investors backed away. The media caught the scent of blood, and within a single day, the headlines were everywhere. High-profile investors under investigation for fraud and tax evasion. Mysterious offshore accounts tied to millionaire entrepreneurs. Luxury empire crumbles overnight. Insiders say more to come. I sat by the infinity pool, sunglasses shielding my eyes from the Caribbean sun, scrolling through the chaos on my phone. Eva stretched out beside me in a white bikini, lazily sipped from her cocktail. Any good news? I smirked, flipping the screen toward her. Her eyes scanned the headlines before letting out a low whistle. Damn, we really did that. I leaned back, exhaling in satisfaction. Oh, we did more than that. Because this was only the beginning. The breaking point. Another call came in. Damon, this time. Eva gestured for me to put it on speaker. I answered. Damon, how lovely of you to call. His breathing was uneven, sharp. You. He took a shaky breath. You destroyed us. Eva smirked. Correction, we simply let you destroy yourselves. We just help speed up the process. You have no fucking idea what you've done, he ground out. I twirled my straw in my drink. We keep hearing that. Yet, oddly enough, we're both in paradise while you're what? Watching your empire go up in flames. You think we're just going to let this slide? Damon hissed. We're not done. Not even close. I exhaled dramatically. Damon, haven't you learned your lesson? You never bet against the women who know how to play the game better than you. You want war, he snarled. Eva sat up, sliding her sunglasses down her nose. Oh, honey, she cooed. This was the war. And you already lost. The line went dead. I tossed my phone onto the table, shaking my head with a chuckle. Poor thing. He still thinks he has a shot at getting out of this. Eva stretched, sighing contently. Men never know when they're beaten. She raised her glass. To never being owned again. I clinked my glass against hers. To watching them burn. And as the sun set over the horizon, casting the sky in hues of fire and gold, we sat back. And enjoyed the view. Chapter 7, The Perfect Getaway. The sea stretched endlessly before us, a sapphire expanse shimmering beneath the sun, as if the entire world had never known chaos. The gentle hum of the private yacht's engine was the only sound competing with the rhythmic crash of waves against the hull. Seagulls circled above, their cries lost in the salty breeze, oblivious to the destruction we had left behind. Eva and I reclined on the sun deck, sunglasses shielding our eyes, skin warmed by the Caribbean sun. The champagne in my glass bubbled softly, cold against my fingers, a stark contrast to the fire still burning in my veins. It was over. We had won. And yet, a part of me knew that the ghosts of what we had done would always linger, just beyond the horizon. The final blow. The last domino had fallen. Cole and Damon were ruined. Not just financially, no, that would have been too merciful. We had stripped them of everything. Their power, their reputations, their very identities. By the time the final batch of documents leaked to the press, there was nothing left of the men who once thought they owned us. Cole's business empire crumbled overnight. The stock value of his company plummeted in a matter of hours, wiped out by a mass exodus of investors who wanted nothing to do with a sinking ship. By noon, headlines were everywhere. Scandal erupts as business mogul exposed for financial fraud. Cole Kensington under federal investigation. Offshore accounts frozen. Wife swap bet turns into billion-dollar meltdown. The fall of the kings of luxury. Damon had fared even worse. His criminal connections, the shady dealings, the off-the-books transactions, we had hand-delivered everything to the right people. His partners turned on him instantly, cutting ties, vanishing like rats abandoning a burning ship. By the end of the day, Damon's assets were seized, his businesses raided, his face plastered across every news station in the country. And the best part? They couldn't even fight back. Because if they did, they'd be admitting everything. Checkmate. The last message. That evening, as the sun bled into the ocean, my phone buzzed one final time. A text. Cole, you took everything. I stared at the words for a long moment, sipping my champagne, letting the weight of them sink in. Then another message. But you still don't get it. Women like you, you don't win. I smirked. Slowly, deliberately, I typed my reply. Oh, but we already have. I hit send. Then, for the last time, I blocked his number. No more second chances. No more warnings. No more looking back. Eva, lounging beside me, glanced over. That from Cole. Last desperate gasp, I said, tossing my phone onto the table. He's still trying to convince himself that he has any control left. Eva laughed softly, stretching her legs out beneath her silk cover-up. Let them drown in their own misery. I raised my glass. To their downfall. She clinked her glass against mine, the soft chime of crystal on crystal, the perfect eulogy for the lives we had left behind. New identities, new lives. By the time we docked at a private villa hidden along the coastline, our new identities were already in place. New names. New passports. New lives. The old versions of us, the wives, the accessories, the possessions of powerful men, were dead. Now we were ghosts, untouchable, existing only in the whispers of those who would spend their remaining years trying, and failing, to find us. Eva stretched luxuriously as we stepped onto the villa's stone terrace, the scent of salt and blooming hibiscus thick in the air. You ever think about what's next? She asked, running a hand through her sun-streaked hair. I smirked, stepping beside her, watching as the last traces of daylight melted into the horizon. I think, I murmured, that the world is finally ours. She grinned. Then let's burn it down. We laughed, low, wicked, victorious, and raised our glasses one last time. Not to survival. Not to escape. But to freedom. And as the night swallowed the remnants of our old lives, we disappeared into the darkness. For good.